This week's tow away has been sponsored by family Silva, Leila Nishmos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Reb Chaim Yisrael HaKohen Zichron Levocha, Reb Chaim Yisrael ben Reb Yaakov HaKohen Zichron Levocha.
Friday, the 4th of October. It says September here, we've gone back a month. Rabbi Shimon Gurovitz, Parshas Noach.
Pasuk says in Malachi, a pasuk that we say three times a day, V'orvon Hashem, Minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, K'mei Olam, U'chshonim Kadmoy Niyos. We look forward to the time of Silovoy, when the service of Klal Yisrael, when the Avodah of Klal Yisrael will be pleasant before the Ribbono Shel Olam, K'mei Olam, U'chshonim Kadmoy Niyos. Now what are the tkufas that are being referred to when the Novi Malachi says, K'mei Olam, U'chshonim Kadmoy Niyos? Yalkut says as follows, Kimei Oilam, Kimei Noyach. Uchshonim Kadmoinios, Kimei Hevel. When we speak about, when we look forward to Los Ilovoi, we compare it, we equate it to Yimei Noyach and Yimei Hevel. Now, looking back in the history of Klal Yisrael, we would have picked the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Those were l'chura, the glorious periods in Klal Yisrael when we were over the Ribbono Shel Olam with the full splendor of the Beis HaMikdash. That l'chura would have portrayed the pleasantness of Avodah, the full pleasantness of Avodah, lifnei Habayra Yisporach. What's the significance of Yimei Noyach, and perhaps even more difficult to understand Yimei Hevel? This we'll perhaps attempt to come back to and explain. Just been through Yom Niroim, perhaps we will also be Ma'ira Ha'ora, which is relevant to the Yimei Hadin, which will hopefully be explained through the course of our discussion today. We speak a lot about Din V'cheshbon. It's a Mishnah Novus, V'alkoch Achaso Ata'osin Litein, Din V'cheshbon. Now what are these two things, Din V'cheshbon? What are they referring to? What's Din? And what's cheshbon? This is something we have to understand. It's a well-known gaon, but Mitzvah Hashem today will quote a Beis Halevi that has a different pshat. Speaking about schar ve'onesh, din v'cheshbon, I'd just like to quote another Gemara which needs explanation. The Gemara Chagiga says, Daf Tesvov, Zochot tzadik, noitel chelkoi v'chelik chaveiroi beganed. Tzadik zoicha, he will not only get his own chelik in Gan Eden, he will get chelik chaveiroi, he will get a chelik in Gan Eden for his friend's good deeds. Nischayev Rosha, if a Rosh is adjudged as somebody who's a sinner, is mechuyev. Neitel chelkoi v'chelik chaveiroi b'Gan Eden, if he's held responsible for his evil, b'Gehenem, if he's held responsible for his actions, He will not only take his own chelek, but he will take chelek chaveiroi b'gehenem. This also needs understanding. Why should the tzaddik merit chelek chaveiroi? He had no hand, and he didn't work at all in order that his chaver should be mekayim mitzvahs. Why should he get chelek chaveiroi b'gan Eden? And there again the Rosha. He deserves punishment for his own. Averis. He deserves Gehenna for his own sins. But why should we pile upon the Rosh Hanevach the sins of his fellow man as well? This also needs explanation. Let's turn to this week's parasha. It says in this week's parasha as follows. Vayal ekim es ha'oretz v'inei nishchosa ki hishchis kol boso es darke al oretz. Is the Medrash already Medayik? It doesn't say ki hishchis kol odom. It says, Hishchis kol boso. It tells us the Medrash, and Rashi already quotes it, there wasn't only mankind that became corrupt, the whole animal world became corrupt. Instead of each animal associated with its own species, associated with other species, the whole Bria became corrupt. And the Medrash, in fact, carries on. Rashi doesn't bring down this piece, the Medrash carries on and says, that gam ha'oret zinso. The actual earth became corrupt. They sowed one thing, they sowed wheat, and barley grew. The earth didn't behave in a natural manner. The earth didn't give forth what it should have given forth according to what had been sown at that particular point in time. And we have to understand, we know the concept that if there's misbehavior, then other members of the human race can learn from misbehavior. But the animal world and the ground, which is a doima, how on earth do they become corrupt? Where do we find the concept of something that doesn't have das at all becoming corrupt, becoming influenced by the evil actions of what's going on around them? Very, very difficult to understand. Rebbe Elopian, Sefer Lebel Yol, he quotes the following anecdote from his youth in order to explain what happened in Bimei Noach. He writes, he says, when I was young, he said, I went to learn in Lomja Yeshiva. I went to learn in Lomja. And he says, in the town of Lomja, there was a very, very old hospital. The hospital was absolutely ancient, it was built of wood. He says, even the old people had no idea when it was originally built. They'd been there for decades, numerous decades. And he says, a situation evolved where sick people were being brought in, and over the course of their stay in hospital, they contracted other illnesses. And they couldn't understand what was going on over here. So he says, what they did was, they brought the big professors from Warsaw, from Warsaw, that were somewhat more advanced than in Lomża, they brought the big professors along. And he said, the professors spent time there trying to research and work out exactly what was going on in this hospital. And the professors decided that this hospital had been around for so long and had been home to so many different illnesses over the years that the whole atmosphere had become poisoned, there were germs all over the place, and what they did was, he said, they dismantled the hospital, took it outside the town and burnt all the wood in order to get rid of the various forms of infection. He says Rebbe Elia, he thinks that's what's happening over here as well. The same as we find in the physical world, the concept of contamination, the concept of something becoming infected. The same thing happens also in the spiritual world. It's not something that we can see. It's not something tangible. It's in the spiritual world as well. When sins are done, again and again and again, it spiritually corrupts the atmosphere. The whole atmosphere becomes corrupt. And that has an effect, not only on human beings, that has an effect on everything which surrounds those human beings. So the animals also behave in a corrupt manner by virtue of the fact that the whole area is spiritually corrupt. And the earth also becomes corrupted by virtue of the fact that so many chatom have been done. So the same as we find physical infection, physical corruption, physical contamination, there's also a concept of spiritual contamination. And therefore, not only mankind was corrupt, but the animal world was also corrupt, and the earth as well, by virtue of the fact that the chatom that have been done created a spiritual contamination, a ruach chatoma, which automatically corrupted all and everything around and about. Beis HaLevi explains Parshas Noach in a very similar way, and he adds, he says, it's something that each one of us can experience and feel, he says. He says, the different Medinas in this world, the different countries, have each been given different nisyonos, different natiyos. As it says, Asora kabins nusya odul oilam, 10 kav of adultery came down to the world, and Tisha notla, various medinas have been affected with various nisyonos, with various koichas hatumah. And he says, one will find, says the Beis HaLevi, if one goes to different countries, one will feel a pull in different places to different averis. One will have different nisyonos by virtue of the fact that the area that one goes to is spiritually contaminated because that avera is being performed in that particular place. And he says one will automatically feel a pull when one goes to those medinas to that particular avera. So then he says, Yochel la'argishoi b'chush mamash, he says. One travels around, he says, one can feel this spiritual contamination, this concept, this idea. It's a well-known story. Rabbi Chon Wasserman, Zechzadik Rebroch, Hashem Yinkin Domoy, Rabbi Chon Wasserman, on a number of occasions, went across to America in order to get support from Yeshiva in Branovich. He had a driver, it was called Mr. Bloch, the El Chayit. And Mr. Bloch was once driving the Rebbe Chonon, And he took a cut down 42nd Street. I don't know exactly which 42nd Street it was. 42nd Street, which at that time was a place which was Poros Baroyes. It was a place where a lot of preachers took place. And Rabbi Chanan was always sitting in the car, looking with his eyes down, looking into a sefer. Rabbi Chanan never looked out of the car windows. It's well known. He always focused on a sefer at hand. And as he was being driven down 42nd Street, he says, "Where are you taking me?" He says, "The tum in this place is bekas voila." He said, "I can feel like a felcha kecha tumah in this place." And on his tmiyah, said Rabbi Chanan, "Then such a place, a Talmud Torah can exist. The ruach tumah is so great." He done Rabbi Chanan's madrega. He could feel tangibly the kriyah chatumah that existed there at various places. If chatoim are done and repeated in any particular place, it's an automatic spiritual contamination which Adam Godel can actually feel. Beis Halevi, he's down the Gemara, ki even bikir tizak, the Gemara says that achamei ve'esrim avonov v'kiris beisoy me'idin ala Adam b'shas hadin. The beams of his house, the stones of his wall will come and be made. Stand what? What does it mean, the beams of his house and the stones of the wall will come and be made? So basically, he explains as follows. The person lives in his house and he does mitzvahs, then his whole surrounding becomes saturated with Kedusha. If Achmon the son does Averis, then his surround becomes saturated with Tumah. He says, the Kairis Bais Navonim, the Ribbon Shem needs to take one look at them. The Beth and Shamal and these take one could look at them and they can see the man's life story. Because the way a person behaves influences and contaminates or uplifts everything around him. This is the koyach ha-hashpor that can emanate from a person's actions. He says, that's pshat in this week's sedra, says Abayis HaLevi. Vayal ekim es ha-oretz ki nishchosa. The Ribbon Shem saw that the actual earth, the actual land was nishchosa, was completely corrupt. He could take one look at the land and he could see the contamination that was contained within the actual Oretz, within the actual Adoma, from the various sins that had been performed in that time. Belia writes in Nebel Yo, in two places, he writes as follows, Yodanu mitzadikim, says Rebellia, we know a various tzadikim who at times had to travel round and about. And so when they travelled round and about, they had to be guests in other people's houses. He said, he would always ask for a single room. They wouldn't sleep together with others in the same room unless they knew that the people that were sleeping in their room were also Yirei Shamayim. He said, Rebellion, although they kept themselves to themselves, and they didn't necessarily have any mago masa with the people that were sleeping in their room. But said Rabbi Elia, the reason why they did so was because if they happened to be in the same room as the Odom Shein and Hogun, who wasn't behaving as was fitting, he said, Naseh ha'avir ma'upash. The atmosphere of the room would become poisoned, and that would have a negative effect on the tzaddik. So he says that he knows of tzaddikim, who used to be very, very makpid when they travelled around, to ensure that they didn't sleep in the same room as others, if they weren't sure that they were Yirei Shomayim and Oiske Halten Yidden. The Chofetz Chaim and his Talmidim used to come to him to be Shoyleitzer with regards where they should live. The Chofetz Chaim always used to send them where it was possible, of course, to live in the small villages. And Rabbi Chofetz Chaim based his advice on a Chazal. Says later on, by Lloyd, he escaped from Stoim. He ne know her ira zeis kroivel on the shomer vehi mitzah. Says Rashi vehi mitzah hale mitzah he baloi avoinei seho muote. The sins of this particular place are little. If you've got a small village, then the amount of averus that have been done in that place is automatically going to be greatly reduced compared to a great city. So said the Chofetz Chaim, if the small villages are places where one can be rest assured that Avi Nisel Muatim, it means the Koyach HaTumah that are created from Averas are somewhat reduced in those villages. Therefore, if possible, you should go and live in those villages. It's the same idea, the same concept, that Averas that are done automatically poison the atmosphere and can have a negative effect. Mishnah says in Ovis, famous Mishnah, Rabbi Yisi ben Kisma, was given an offer. He was offered, in order to live in a particular place, he was offered Kol Kesef, Zov, Margolius, Toiv, Shevoilam. It's a very, very tempting offer. So he replied, he says, you can give me all the riches that exist, any door I will only dwell in a Mokim Torah. The Velt Freit Akasha, if he's got all the riches in the world, so he should build yeshivas, and he should build kollel, and he'll have a Mokim Torah. What was his problem? So I heard once, Pshat says as follows. True, he had all the resources at hand. But if this was a place that never was a Mokum Torah, if Torah had never been learnt in this place, then there was no Kedusha to combat the Ruach HaTumah that was created by all the Averis that were done in this Mokum, it's very, very difficult to create a Mokum Torah, given the funds, if the place is permeated and saturated with Tumah, Ashpoas Ros, the Ruach HaTumah that exists and has permeated this place, very, very difficult to set up a Ruach HaTorah, set up a Talmud Torah, to set up the Maisa, a place which should become a Mokum Torah where there is that negativity. I once heard from Reb Shlomo Frischwasser, Shlita. He once spoke in Yeshiva. He said over this vort, and he connected it to another Gemara. The Gemara in Yevamos brings down a story. In the Beis HaKnesses, the old story over there where there was a machlokes between various people, and the end result was that the Sefer Torah got torn. Sefer Torah got torn. We'll say over the Yerushalmi's version of the story. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim says that Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said as follows, the same Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. He says, I'm convinced that this shul used to be a base avodas kechovin. And they did research, and they found out that the shul at one time was the base avodas kechovim. How could Rabbi Yisben Kisma be so sure? That he saw such a terrible action take place. Such an action can only take place if there are the hashpos from tumah in this mokum. Is this mokum must have once upon a time been a place where terrible averas were done. This was the same Rabbi Yisben Kisma who recognized that when Averis are done in a place and there's no Kerech HaKadusha to combat them, then the Ruach HaTumah exists, and that Ruach HaTumah will endure, and it can have terrible spiritual repercussions at a later date. So, B'yis Ben Kisma, Meshitose. I'd like to give another example where we see this. We find, by the B'nai God of B'nai Reuven, they asked for Eva Yalda. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gidroi Soin Nivne L'Mikneinu, for Orim L'Tapeinu, we'll build enclosures for our flock and cities for our children. So they indicated that their first priority would be to build enclosures for their sheep, and then they would look after their children. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, no, Bnu Lechem Orim L'Tapchem, V'Gidroi L'Tzoinachem, build towns, cities for your children, and then look after your flock. The Medrash already says about when they got to Meruven that they were also as a Ikka Tofel. As a Tofel, Ikka, now we have to understand, when they got to Meruven, they were great to mention. Chazal tells us they were Mibnei Pamal Yeshel Yeshua. How comes that they were more interested in the welfare of their flock than their towns? Now there's an answer to that, but the answer then brings the question, begs the question, so what did they do wrong? The answer is as follows. Pesukim say in Parshas Chukas, when we speak about Lachem Sichem V'Oig, of course this was the land of Sichem V'Oig, it says in the Pasuk, Yotzu Sichem V'Oig, Likras Yisrael, V'Yasif Sichem, Es Kol Amoy, V'Yotzu Likras Yisrael B'Midbar. Sichem got together all the nations, all his people, they went out to meet Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, says Rashi. Why did they do that? Says Rashi, this was Gevalt Gechesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want Klal Yisrael to have the trouble of going from town to town, conquering the various villages and townlets in Sichem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam puts it in the minds of the general of Sichem, let's take our army, meet Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and try and vanquish from there. And the same thing we find by Oig. It says by Oig, V'yotzo Oig melech haboshon nekrosom hu v'chol amoy lemelchome edrei. So if there was no hand-to-hand fighting, guerrilla fighting in the cities, if it all took place in the Midbar, it means the cities were all standing. They were all complete. Okay, there might have been some repairs that were needed. There might have been some changes that needed to be done. But the cities were complete. So we can begin to understand B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. Look here, we don't need to worry about our children. They've got where to live. We'll do it up afterwards, but they've got where to live. But our flock are left out in the open. We've got to build them enclosures. We don't want to lose them. We can understand B'nai God and B'nai Reuven. But then what was Moshe Rabbeinu's time? Why were they also say Ikka Tofel? Was that Tofel Ik? And the answer is as follows. Rebbe Yosef touched on this in Parashas Matos. True, the towns were complete. True, the city still existed in the physical form. But those Mekomas were Mekomas in which Avodah Zarah had been served. Those Mekomas were Mekomas where Averis had been done without any Kedushas HaTorah, without any Kerech HaTorah, to combat the Kerech HaTumah that existed and had permeated those places. And therefore, it was incumbent upon Klal Yisrael to build new places, to build new houses and new towns, and tear down the old towns in order to ensure the spiritual welfare of their families, of their children. And that has to be the first priority. In fact, the Bnei Yosef brings down, Chazal say, that the toast that Bnei God and Bnei Reuven made was, they were chavivim amoynam yoyse min ha nefoshos. It doesn't say yoyse megufam. Their physical welfare was taken care of. But chavivim amoynam yoyse min ha nefoshos. They were madif. They gave precedence to their flock, their money, rather than nefoshes, the soul of their families, because their souls, the souls of their families were in spiritual danger due to the fact that those places were permeated with tumah. Which Halevi brings down the Gemara Chagiga that we quoted earlier. Gemara Chagiga says, we quoted earlier, that tzaddik is noitel chelkoi v'chelek chaver b'gan Eden. And the Rosh is Leitel Chelkei V'chelek Chaveroi B'Gehenna. And Pesalevi asks, as we asked at the beginning, as why should the Tzaddik merit to get Chelek Chaveroi? And why should the Rosh suffer for the sins of his fellow man? Says Pesalevi, it's all the same idea. A Tzaddik, when he does mitzvahs, and he generates in the world a Ruach HaKedusha, that automatically engenders within his fellow man a will and a desire to do mitzvahs. So he doesn't only get Chelkei B'Gan Eden, he also gets a portion, a part, in the mitzvahs that his fellow men have done, because he actually has played a role in those mitzvahs being done. Due to the fact that he's brought a Ruach HaKedusha to the world, he's generated a positive atmosphere, a positive spiritual atmosphere, which automatically engenders within his fellow men the rotzen and the will to do mitzvahs, and shukr that he has a chelek in those mitzvahs. And the same thing for Ket, Rachman al Islam. A Rosh is Noitel Chelke B'chelek Haver B'gin Adam. If a Rosh does Averis, and he's metamtam the atmosphere, he corrupts the atmosphere, he brings a situation where there's an atmosphere of spiritual illness, then he doesn't only have responsibility for his own actions, he has responsibility for the negative and wicked actions of his Haverim, because he has played a role in those actions. A frightening thought. This Halevi also explains with that the idea of din v'cheshba. What's din and what's cheshba? What are the two things? When the person goes before the Ribbono Shleilam, the Ribbono Shleilam makes judgment on his own actions, then the Ribbono Shleilam also makes a cheshba. Because of your action, you created an avir of spirituality, so that influenced others. So the cheshbon that you have besides for your din, you have the cheshbon that you helped others and assisted others to do mitzvahs. And faket rachmon l'islam. If a person does averis, he doesn't only have to give him din for the averis that he's done, there's a cheshbon as well. Because due to his averis, he generated a negative situation, he generated a negative atmosphere, an atmosphere of negativity, spiritual negativity, which in turn has caused other people to do averis. So he doesn't only have his personal din, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a cheshbon as to what other ills have been caused due to his actions. Idea of din v'cheshbon. We find that in Parashat Vayigash, when they went down to Mitzrayim, Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefonov, Lahoyres Lefonov, El Yosef, Lahoyres Lefonov Goishnos. So Rashi says in the second pshat from the Medrash, they sent Yehuda down to create a Beis Hayro, a Yeshiva Shemisham Teitzei Hayro. The question is asked, why do you have to send Yehuda ahead? Yaakov Avinu was perfectly capable when he arrived there of setting up a yeshiva. And the Teretz is exactly the same. Goshen Mitzrayim had a poison atmosphere, and in order, he was scared to bring, he was worried about bringing in the children into an atmosphere that was poisoned, where there was no Kedusha to combat the poison, the spiritual poison that existed there. So he said, Yehuda ahead, create a yeshiva, create a Mokom Torah, there should be Torah learnt there, in order there should be a Kerach HaKedusha to combat the Ruach HaTumah and the Kerach HaTumah, which automatically helped the children to achieve great things spiritually. In fact, David Yoel says, when he discusses this, he says that a person throughout the day is going to come into contact with a negative atmosphere. He says, what should a person do? That will help him through the day. He should ensure that the beginning of the day, the start of the day, should be tear away, and due to that, he will have the spirituality, the Kerach HaKedusha, which will help him combat any negativity that he may meet during the day. Coming back to the Chazal that we mentioned right at the beginning, Ovel Hashem and Chzudu Yishlayim, Kimei Oilom, Uchshon Kadmonios, Kimei Noach, Kimei Hevel, and we asked, what's going on over here? Those weren't the most glorious periods of Klal Yisrael's history. What was special about Kimei Noach and Kimei Hevel? Rabbi Yerucham explains in the same manner. He says, from the creation of the world until today, there's only been two times in the history of the world where the world has been devoid of sin, where there's been no negative spiritual atmosphere at all. And that was Bimei Hevel, before Cain killed him. On this world, must be the chet of Adam Rish took place in Gan Eden, but in this world, chet had never been done. So at that point in time, the world was spiritually pure. There was another time as well. After the Mabul, the world was spiritually cleansed. If you have a look at the Sfon, speak about the Mea Mabul being, as they be the Mea Mikveh, the world was spiritually cleansed. And the world started again. So there was two periods in Klal Yisrael's history where the world was spiritually pure. And that was Yimei Hevel and Yimei Noach. In those periods of time, the Avoid is absolutely crystal clear. The Avoid is absolutely Toir V'Kodesh. When Mashiach comes, the Ribbono Shel Olam will cleanse the world completely and entirely, something that we weren't zeicher to in the first two Batei Mikdash. So in those times, the world will once again be Kimei Noach, Uchshon and Kadmonios, and that's the significance of those times. Mitzvah the Ribbono Shel Olam should mezakeh us, that because we should witness this cleansing of the world, we should be zeicher personally to experience a world which is called Kulei Kedusha V'Tara, we should be zeicher to see the Ba'or V'l Hashem, Minchas Yudu V'Yishlayim, Kimei Oilam, Uchshonim Kadmonios.